these are family and friends. It is so good to be together, connected in this virtual world, but yet lifting up Jesus and knowing his wonders in our lives. I pray that you are getting closer to the Lord, just a closer walk with you. I'm just excited to get back in the series today. And really, I want us to seek his face more and more, to get into his word, to pray more, to walk close with him, especially in these changing times. Thank you for staying connected to ebcnc.com. We've got so much that's going on there. Our Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, studies that are being presented, that we can be edified, that we can grow in the Lord. Thank you for your prayers for our in-person services, 8:45, 10:45, but also our 10 o'clock online. Thank you for lifting that up. It is impacting so many people, and we're just blessed as a family that God has done so many amazing things. Also, just want to thank you for all you're doing as far as your giving. Your giving is bigger than just physical giving. It's reaching out, calling on one another, loving each other. Thank you for all that you're doing. I just want to really focus in and read the scripture that we've learned years and years ago, and we've cherished in our heart and seen God do amazing things. 2 Corinthians that 9, starting at the 7th verse, it says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves the" — what? You can put it in the chat — cheerful. God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. I was going to tell you to type abundance. That's a long word to type, but I'm telling you, you could say it, abundance. Hasn't God provided for us over and over and over again? He has. And in our relationship with him, man, we want to draw closer. I'm going to say that over, draw closer to him. Well, let's prepare our hearts that we can focus in and receive the word that God has given to all of us today. See you soon.
And I'll be reading Joel, second chapter, from the first down to the second verse. "Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successful generations." And then I'm going to read, the 28th, same chapter. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." And the Lord had a blessing, reading his word.
Amen. Amen. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Whoa, on-time God. Yes, he is. Job said he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Now he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Whoa, on-time God. I know he is. Job said he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. You can ask the children of Israel, trapped at the Red Sea, by that mean old Pharaoh and his army. They had water all around them, and Pharaoh was on their tracks. But out of nowhere, God stepped in. He made a highway Just like that, I'm here to tell you he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Whoa, on-time God. Yes, he is. Now Job said, may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. And you can ask the 5,000 hungry souls he fed on the banks of the river with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. What a miracle he performed for the multitude. And what he did way back then, he'll do today for me and you. Let me tell you, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, on-time God. I know he is. See, Job said, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Just ask the children of Israel. They were trapped at the Red Sea by that mean old Pharaoh and his army. They had water all around them, and Pharaoh was on the tracks. But I don't know where my God stepped in. He made a highway just like that. Let me tell you, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, 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 on-time God. I know he is. Job said, he may not come when you want him. He may not come when you want him. He may not come when you want him, y'all, but he'll be there on time. He's an on-time God. He's an on-time God. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
Just a closer walk with thee. That's my desire for you. That's my desire for myself, to grow closer to the Lord, especially as we see so much change happening within our world. I thank God for his grace and mercy within our lives. Remember last time we were dealing with Enoch, and we were talking about the closeness Enoch had with God and that whole process of God really ordering his steps. Just some points in review to get us to the place that we're going to today. We talked about on last time, your life matters. I wanted to get this early to you. Your life matters. The example, the silent years, walking with the Lord, well done, and your legacy. And this closeness, walking with the Lord, is so, so important within our lives, because we realize it is so much bigger. Remember that point. It is so much bigger because we actually impact generations. Before we go any further and get into our scripture for today, let's go in a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for desiring us, Lord, to be your children. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be in your presence, Lord. Now, Father, I just pray, maybe there's someone that's looking in, viewing, listening in, Lord, that does not know you. I pray today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised him from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace, through faith, and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift today. Now, Lord, I thank you for who you are. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, I welcome you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you teach us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, as we progress with this series, I want you to take you to a special, special scripture, and all of them are special, but this is dear to my heart. Genesis 15:6. It reads, listen to this, and he, we're talking about Abram, believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. I want to read that again. Genesis 15:6, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. I want to speak from a title, Do You Believe? Do you believe? This scripture, the portion that we're going in today, is very, very important, because if you talk to any Jew, Jew that could trace their genealogical line, they come to this wonderful figure of Abraham slash Abram, because this is the beginning of the covenant. We're going to talk about the covenant relationship that really pulls us all in, whether we're Jew or Gentiles. This is the promise that God fulfilled through Jesus Christ, his son. The approximate time that we're dealing with today is around 2000 BC. So we've walked from last Sunday's message with Enoch. Many years have progressed to this point. Remember, Noah comes after Enoch. God wipes out just about everything except for that which was with on that ark. And then God rebuilds it. But the problem is, sin is still there. People are still going through. And in the land of Ur, this is where Abram is and his wife Sarah, we see that sin is really, idol worship has grown, all these things. And now God has to pull Abram out of this particular section and take him to a place that he knows not of. Yes, God meets with Abram and says, you know what? I want to do something for you. I want to take you to a promised land. I want to take you to a blessed place. But you're going to have to leave a majority of your family and your friends, and you're going to have to just trust me. And Abram trusts God. He leaves his family. He goes out to pick up the point that we're going to pull out today. Abram actually has a family member, Lot. They've had to separate simply because God has blessed them so much. And in the midst of them separating, Lot gets attacked by enemies, and Abram has to take his family, his household, and to fight these people to get Lot back. God blesses him in that. And so as we pick up this particular portion of scripture, Abram is thinking about a lot of things. Okay, God, you help me to get through this fight with my enemy for Lot, my family member, but I'm concerned. Maybe they're going to attack me. And then we're going to get at the root of some issues. Let's pick up Genesis 15 and 1. Do you believe? After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Here's our first point. Don't be afraid. Yes, don't be afraid. Remember, we talked about that. He's just come out of a battle, thinking that his enemies may retaliate against him, but also trying to figure out this relationship that he has with God, this new relationship in a sense. We find out when you look at the chronological line, Abram was probably about 70 years old when God met him and gave him this mandate to leave his family and a majority of his household and go to a place that he does not know of. And now he's probably around 75 years old, 5 years of already walking with the Lord, Sarah, his wife, him, they have no child, literally. Now, I want to bring out this because this will help us to understand as we continue to progress. Don't be afraid. Abram's name actually means father. Yes, father. Sarah, princess. And so his name is actually daunting to him because he does not have a physical child. He has not been blessed with a child from his loins. And so he's living this life. He's getting older. All these things are coming. And really, God comes and says, don't be afraid of your enemies. Don't be afraid of what you're up against. Now, one of the biggest things that I think we can pull out of here are two things. I think that our world and even the church are pressed by this. We don't fear enough, and some people don't have any fear. And I know I said, don't be afraid. You're like, Pastor, how do you do that? Because it's the interpretation of a fear within the Bible. There's several interpretations as you look in Hebrew and in Greek. The first one definition is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that some war or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. Now this is, I think some people don't fear God in that sense because they don't believe him. They don't think he's the God. They don't think he's the only God. They don't believe that he's the God of the universe. There is no fear in that sense. But please, God wants those that believe in him not to have this type of fear. Let me show you. 1 Peter 5:6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. There it is, for he cares for you. God is our Father. He cares for us. He doesn't want us to have this fear of him that he's going to treat us in an unpleasant way or he's going to bring danger our way. He cares for us. Isaiah the prophet even writes in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. This definition too of fear, this is what God really wants us to walk into, is to regard God with reverence and awe. That's what he wants for the saints, in a sense. He wants us to really understand he's a God that loves us and cares for us. Peter, led by the Holy Spirit, gives us a shining example of this in 1 Peter 1:15. But as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, here it is, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. That is reverence. Really lifting up God, knowing that he is so wonderful. He is the God of the universe that has taken the time to really love us and make us a part of his family. In the New Testament, we find out through Jesus that God wants us to actually run to him. Yes, in the chat, you can put run to him. This is amazing, considering the sin nature, considering what we saw with Enoch and we saw with Noah being used of God in a world that had turned away from God. And now we've got Abram getting this call to come out of this sinful place of earth that he is, to go to a place that he knows not of, that God would even care for us. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Somebody put boldly. So important, to boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Anybody need him out there? Do you believe? God wants this closeness with us, but it has to come to the point that we need to trust God and take him at his word. Look at Genesis 15:2. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. Here's the point. Talk to the Lord. Yes, talk to the Lord. Abram is growing in his relationship with God. And now I gave you that precursor there. He's about 75 years old, been with Sarah for a long time, been walking with God for a long time. And his heart's desire is to have a child. Specifically within that society, it would be to have a son. But he has not been allowed to have a son for whatever reason. He's walking with the God of the universe, but yet his heart desire has not been fulfilled. And he's gotten so close to God now, he really begins to talk to the Lord. And saints, I really want us to get to this point within our lives that we can talk to the Lord. Many of us have been raised up and we see God as this far off God that we really can't communicate. We have these pet prayers that we go through, these habitual prayers that we go to, but God wants us to get intimate in him, with him. And this whole process, Abram really cries out to the Lord. He says, I have no heir. All I have is the slave that's in my household. He's a part of the family, in essence, but I want a child to be able to step up. I want someone who looks like me, who has my bloodline and all of these processes here. Abraham knows God. He knows that he's a wonderful God, but yet there are struggles that are going on the inside. Are there any amens out there? There's some of you that are in some serious situations right now, and you know God, but you're concerned about opening up your heart to him. But I want you to know, you got to talk to the Lord. Do you believe? Abram stands with the psalmist, and we should too, in Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Abram said, I got to talk to him. I got to let him know what I'm experiencing. I'm talking about just a closer walk with thee. I need to get closer to the Lord. Jesus speaks of this closeness in Matthew 11:28. I love this verse. Come to me, all you who are heavy labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't that good? Listen to that again. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Anybody want rest out there? You can put rest in the chat when you're sitting to say rest. I need rest from him. Do you believe? Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find, there it is again, rest for your souls. You can type it again. Rest. We want rest. Getting closer. We got to believe. Matthew 11:30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you believe? Look at Genesis 15:4. As Abram is talking to God and his presence is strong, he feels that intimacy like he's never felt before. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir. That's Eleazar. But one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. 15:5. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Here's a point. More than enough. Yes. More than enough. Now, this is the integral point that literally Abram's name of father, when God says, look at the stars, begins to transition to Abraham. Let me explain. Abram means father, but Abraham, that ending, it means the father of many. So God is saying, I'm going to blow your mind. I'm going to do something for you. I am going to bless you with a child. It's not going to be your slave that's going to take over everything. It's going to be a child that comes from Sarah, comes from your loins, you coming together. I know you're old. You're 75 years old, but just, you got to walk with me. You got to trust me. And this is the word that God gives. God reaffirms in this scripture that he is the great I am, that God can do anything. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 19:26, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Any hallelujahs out there? This whole process, when we trust the God of the universe, and when we get close to him, we really come to the point of realizing and believing, with God all things are possible. We just got to believe his word. Notice closely Genesis 15:5 again. In that second part, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Won't he do it? I'm telling you. But notice here, this is a step of faith. This is a step of relationship. Abram does not have a child. Sarah is not pregnant, but God says, I'm going to give you a child, and I want you to look at the stars. You're not just going to get one child. You're going to get many children, and they're going to bear children. You just got to trust me. Paul, of the letter of the Holy Spirit, he writes this in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Are there any witness out there? To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Do you believe? God wants to bless us beyond what we can even grasp. And some of you that are sitting out there or standing right now because you're thanking the Lord, you need to think back of what God has already done for you. Think about the doors that were closed in your face that God opened wide open. Think about the raises that you've got on your job that you didn't deserve. Think about the children that the Lord has blessed you, the family, all those things that God has done exceedingly abundantly above what we could dare ask or think. You just got to believe. Genesis 15:6. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. We've been talking about this point over and over again. I want to reaffirm this to you. Just believe. Say it to yourself. Just believe. Yes. The question within the title was, do you believe? But we've got to come to the point of just believing in God, stepping out on faith and knowing that He's more than enough. This is a critical point. This is a critical junction in relationship with the Lord and getting closer to Him, is to know who God is and to trust what He says. Now, Jesus had to deal with this whole belief process. His disciples were actually anointed with the presence of Christ to heal the sick and to cast out demons, to do all these miraculous things. But they came upon an epileptic boy that they couldn't cast the demon out. And finally, they had done all their conniptions. And Jesus comes down from the mountain of transfiguration. He sees this sight. And all of a sudden, his disciples, they're mind boggled. Why can't we do this? We pick up in Matthew 17 and 20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. The question is, do you believe? Do you believe? Now, in this scripture, I do want to point out, it said that if you just have faith as a mustard seed, and Abram, I'm thinking about him not even having a child, and then looking at the stars, and God says, I'm going to make you a daddy, but also I'm going to make you a daddy of many, and all he had to do is just have a mustard seed faith. What does that look like right here? I actually have a mustard seed right here in the midst of my fingers, and you'll see it on that image that's brought up. Just very small, but please understand, when that mustard seed is planted, when it's put into a ground, it begins to grow into a powerful tree that can produce other mustard seeds. And that's what God is saying. All it takes is a little bit, because God says, I'm bringing all that you need when you trust me. This counted righteousness that was talked about within the scriptures, because Abram trusted God, and before he actually got the physical thing, he was willing to step out and believe God was able to do what he said he was going to do. Romans 4:17 brings this out, emphasizes it. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Look at those stars, in whom his presence of him who he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Do you believe? Look at this, verse 18. Who contrary to hope, in hope believe, so that he became the father of many nations. Didn't I tell you this is a powerful scripture we were looking at? According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And then at Romans 4:19, and not being weak in faith, this is Abram, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Romans 4:20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Remember, this encounter with God in Genesis is he's about 75 years. He's going to have to wait some 20 plus years before that actual child comes that comes from Sarah. Please understand verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Romans 4:22, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Do you believe? There are going to be times within our lives that God is going to give us a word and we're just going to have to trust him. I can't tell you how many times within my life I got a word from the Lord and I did not have the fruition of it. I did not have the fruit of it, but I trusted the Lord. And I'm telling you, he may not show up when we want him, but he's always on time. Are there any hallelujahs out there? Has God taken you on some journeys where you just had to hold his hand? You had to get closer and closer to him. But I'm telling you, when it came, you had already been praising him even before you got it, but when it came, you just begin to thank God, because he actually fulfilled his word, and he does it over and over again. Look at Genesis 15:7-8. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? Here's a very important point. Ask God questions. Yes. ask God questions. I think so often within our lives that we don't ask enough questions. Yes, our faith is actually being built on the fact that we can trust God, but also there are times when we don't understand, and we need to come to the Lord and bring, I would say, our doubts to God, because he's the one who can answer those. He's the one that can get us to the point. Let me give you some scriptures to explain what God has put on my heart. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they should be as wool." We've got to reason with God. We've got to talk with him. That's that growing closer to him, a closer walk with the Lord. So many times we're unable to really figure out God's ways. Any amens? Yeah, that's the way we are, because Isaiah also brings out in Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord." That ninth verse, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We must ask him for direction. We must come to the point of really growing closer and closer to him and say, "Lord, I don't understand. My flesh is fighting against me, but God, could you explain it to you? Could you give me some understanding that I can go up to your thought pattern? I need to be transformed to your way." Remember, Jesus taught us, he gave us an example of this in the Garden of Gethsemane, Mark 14:36, and he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." We've got to embrace that prayer. "God, not my will, but let thy will be done." Do you believe? Look at Genesis 15:9. Man, this story is awesome and powerful. It says, "So he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer and a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." 10th verse, "Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two." Here's a point, powerful point. There must be a sacrifice. Yes, there must be a sacrifice. Now, as we look at that scripture, bringing all these animals and having to split them in half, this is intensive labor. Yes, this is a struggle in a sense to be able to do this. God says, I want you to do this. I need you to make a sacrifice. And so what he literally does, he cuts those animals, except for the birds, in half, and he lays a half of the animal on one side and half of the animal on the other side to make a path in between. And literally, the blood of those animals is puddling in the middle of that particular thing. A covenant relationship is being made at this point. Now making this sacrifice is important, because in the New Testament, we get what God wants from us. Not to cut animals in head and half and have the blood on the ground. Please, God is asking for something even greater in Romans 12:1. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." God is saying, I want you. I'm not asking for the blood of goats or the blood of cows or turtle doves. I want you to give your life to me. I'm talking about, this is so important as we think about, God is looking for a sacrifice. Abram goes to this extent and he lays these animals out. This takes hours to do, and God gives him this mandate, but yet Abram has not seen anything. All God has said is that, "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a father. I'm going to make you a father of many nations." All of these things are coming, but now God says, I need to do something special with you. Look at Genesis 15:11. But when God takes us to a point of this deep relationship with him, and we're giving him sacrifice, there's something else going to happen in that 11th verse. "And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away." This is critical. This point, stay in the fight. Yes, stay in the fight. Can you put in the chat, and you're sitting in your living rooms, wherever maybe you're on your break, say, fight, fight, fight. See, when you're getting closer to the Lord, the enemy is going to come at you. The enemy is going to come in like vultures trying to take your sacrifice. He's going to be trying to take your life, trying to trip you up, trying to get you in the ditch. But you got to stay in the fight. Notice these animals are laid out. And we know the animals, the vultures, when they see these dead animals, they're coming down. Man, they want to eat. They want to pull pull these parts off and eat them. But Abram realized, no, this God is up to something. God is going to do something. He hasn't shown up yet, but he's going to show up. And Abram has to actually fight. He's done this labor-intensive work of dividing the animals. Now he has to fight these vultures away. 1 Timothy 6:12 gives us insight on this. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many with. We got to fight. Abram is fighting these vultures away, striving to keep them from the sacrifice that's been laid unto God. Look at this. Genesis 15:12. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Genesis 15:13. Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with a great possession. Genesis 15:15-16. Now as for you, you shall go to your father in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Final point, bring this all together. It is so much bigger than you. Yes. It is so much bigger than you. He falls into the sleep, and God actually gives him this picture of what's going to come, this vision of what's going to come, and he finds out this is big. It's not just about me having a baby. It's not just about me having many babies or they having grandkids, my grandkids, but God is going to touch generation. He's going to deal with a people that's going to grow out of my loins. I'm telling you, God is saying, I'm going to do exceedingly abundantly what you dare ask to think. We talked about that, and I want to give a word to you today. Please understand, God wants to do some amazing things in your life. God wants to take you to higher heights, but understand, this generational impact can be for the good, or it can actually be for the bad. John Bradshaw, in his book Healing the Shame That Binds You, brings out a point how the enemy can come in. If we don't get closer to the God of the universe that loves us so much, actually the enemy wants to come in and trip us up and mess up our generation. Notice he says this quote. He says, families are as sick as their secrets. The secrets are what they are ashamed of. Family secrets can go back for generations. They can be about suicides, homicides, incest, abortions, addictions, public loss of faith, financial disaster, etc. All the secrets get acted out. This is the power of toxic shame. Yes. Some of you are battling with issues in your life because you're refusing to grow closer to the Lord, just have a closer walk with him, and you're actually courting the enemy instead of God. There ought to be some ouches out there, but I'm telling you, same. When we're walking in the enemy's ways, he's going to mess up our family, bring all kinds, and there's secrets that are toxic within our lives, but we need to take them to the Lord and leave them there. God wants us to turn that toxic shame around, and that to can be transformed, that our families can be blessed, that generations can be blessed. Jesus actually spoke of this, turning it around in John 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Somebody say free. You can put it in the chat, free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? John 8:34. Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. I love this 36th verse. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Go ahead and type it, free. Holler out, free. I know that you are Abraham's descendant. Isn't that amazing how it ties all together? But you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. This final scripture sums it all up. Genesis 15:17. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. I'm talking about fire. The fire of God shows up in an amazing way to solidify this covenant. Please, it's a picture. It's an amazing picture. A smoking oven and a fiery torch actually come and it walks in the midst of those pieces that are on the side, those animals that have been divided up, the blood that's in the middle. God comes right through the middle. It reminds us of Egypt. Remember when God took the children of Israel out of Egypt, he led them in the wilderness of fire by night and a cloud by day. This whole process, smoking oven, the cloud, smoke coming up, and that flaming torch, the fire, this represented God. But I want you to understand, when a covenant was made within that society, it actually was made between two individuals. So in essence, the covenant to be right here, Abram was to walk through the blood and God was then to walk through the blood, and that would make that this is a covenant relationship. I trust you. But God said, Abram, I don't even need you in this relationship. What I'm going to do, I'm going to walk through the blood by myself. Therefore, I'm not going to hold you. I'm going to say that everything's going to be on me. There ought to be some amens. That shows us grace and mercy. Let me tell you what Abraham could not do, Jesus did. That's why it's so important to understand God had already a sacrifice. His name was Jesus that came from heaven to earth, walked among men. We see him doing all types of miracles, but I'm so glad that he goes to the cross of Calvary, nails in his hands and nails in his feet, and there he's hung high for us. Now, please understand, what Abram couldn't do, Jesus did. Let me tell you, remember that smoking oven and that fiery torch that goes in the middle of those sacrifices. Jesus is hung in the middle of two thieves. Yes, yes, you get that picture? He is that what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood was in the middle of those animals that were there. We see those thieves on the outside of him. And even in the midst of that healing, God puts his son right in the middle. One of the thieves comes to himself and said, please remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. What Abram couldn't do, I'm so glad that Jesus did. He dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold tomb, but 3 days later he gets up with all power and all glory. See, the promise to Abram was not just a physical lineage, but it was a spiritual one, that God was saying, I'm going to bring in all kinds of people into the family. I'm going to make them my children by my son Jesus, who always did what I wanted him to do. I'm going to, through Jesus, who is God manifested in the flesh. God says, I love you so much to give myself. Oh, and now we have the Christ that got up with all power and all glory. He has ascended to the Father, and he's seated on the right hand, and he's interceding for us. And through Jesus and his sacrifice, God has given us his Holy Spirit, that now we have the promise. We have the assurance. We are assured that we will be with him for an eternity. Yes, that Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside. He speaks to us of all that God has done, is doing, and will do. The question is, do you believe? I'm telling you, God is up to amazing things. He's still saving souls. He's still delivering. He's still setting people free. He's still doing miracles. There and he shouts out there, he is. He's still doing miracles. But the greatest miracle is salvation. Man, I've talked to so many people within my life, and I'm telling you, there's so many people that have doubt about their relationship with the Lord. I'm telling you, you can get that right today. Scriptures are clear. I quote this so often. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. It said, you will be saved. Do you want that? If you want that, just confess him. No, just the other day on the phone, a young man, and I was talking to him and his mother, and he gave his life to the Lord right there on the spot. Really, because it's a simple thing, because God is saying, I'm the one who walked through the middle. I'm the one who sent my son there. I'm the one who is the sacrifice. We just got to trust him. He even says, it's by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift. God is saying, here's the gift, because I want you to grow closer to me. I want you to understand who I am. This is your day. Some of you are out there and you're saying, Pastor, I'm saved. I'm assured of that relationship, but I've been struggling with some stuff. Well, I encourage you, do what you need to do to get closer to Him. Some of you have gone through so many things within your life, and you know if it had not been for the Lord on your side, you wouldn't be here today listening, viewing again. But I want to encourage you, God is saying, I want you to grow closer to me. I want you to make some points that get in His Word more, pray more, spend more time with Him. That's how our relationship grows. Trust Him. Just believe He is God, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I'm telling you, this is the season, saints. We have to step up. Let's get to know our Savior. Let's get to know Him with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, that He can use us to others be drawn to Him. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You. Thank You for Abram, his life, his accounted righteousness. But I thank You for Your Son, Jesus. Lord, thank You for fulfilling Your Word to the utmost. So Lord, now I pray for more souls to be saved and delivered and set free. I pray for a generation that's being raised up right now, that's drawing closer to You, Lord, that's being used of You. Sons and daughters, God, that are deciding You are their everything, and they're being committed to You to share Your good news, to live a life of holiness. Thank You, God, for Your victory. We give You the praise, honor, and glory. Lord, help us to believe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Every step I make, I'm gonna make it in the name of Jesus. Yes, I am. Every step I make,